West Virginia has produced noted scientists and technicians, mathematicians and engineers, plus businessmen and women who have made their mark on the nation and the world. Some are called heroes, others pioneers. Some have won the nation's and the world's highest awards. They grew up here in the mountains, many in small towns and deep hollows, and today are soaring in the sciences and in business. Next, a high school dropout who has spent his life in search of meaningful work.
Midnight, January 15th, 1997. Half asleep, I'm waiting for amino acids to finish running. A blood sample was brought in by a hired driver from 100 miles away, a sample from a new baby who has maple syrup urine disease. He's not ill, and because of timely diagnosis, he can be easily treated.
Tucked among the fertile cornfields and pastures of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is a highly unusual medical practice called the Clinic for Special Children. The clinic stands on 2.5 acres at the end of a long lane, smack dab in the middle of an Amish farm. As the farmer spreads manure on his alfalfa field outside, inside, Dr. Holmes Morton chats on the phone with another doctor about a young patient.
Referred by Dr. Clommers, you're right. It's done, Donna.
We had the gene mutation.
Nearly every patient here is a child with a debilitating genetic disorder.
He is the fourth child for these young parents, their first son, the second of their children with the disease. His mother is 25 years old and has four children, two with this disease. How much of the next 20 years of her life will be given to this child and his trouble? How many hours of my life will he claim?
In the parking lot are two hitching posts for horses and buggies. But this clinic is a world-renowned medical facility. Here, doctors and scientists diagnose and treat rare genetic disorders in Old Order Amish and Mennonite children. These children often have physical and mental disabilities which appear to be cerebral palsy, but aren't. The communities call these youngsters God's special children.
These children are seen as important to the culture and the community through your efforts to help these children, that they teach you things that are helpful in other ways.
I always think of that as I examine a newborn with maple syrup urine disease or glutaric aciduria or Crigler-Najjar disease. Each child takes, needs, defines another piece of my life. A few more hours away from nights and holidays, a few less hours of needed rest or reading or writing or playing the cello. Meaningful work, yes, no doubt. What I know, what I learn, does help these children. Child by child, hour by hour, as I am needed, my future is taken, decided, shaped. Was that part of the cost of coming here, searching for, seeing, meaningful work? Was that the ultimate cost of looking into the eyes of such children?
Holmes Morton, reading a letter he wrote to a young medical student in 1997. The following year, he picked up a cello for the first time. The Clinic for Special Children was founded 21 years ago by Holmes from Fayetteville, West Virginia, and his wife Caroline from Beckley. And today, this couple are among the few outsiders who have been embraced by the Plain Peoples, that is, Old Order Amish and Mennonites who usually live separate from mainstream society. 300 years ago, in search of religious freedom, these communities came to the United States from Germany and Switzerland, and they brought with them inherited disorders that continue to this day. But how in the world did a high school dropout from West Virginia become the world's leading authority on genetic-based diseases of the Plain Peoples, whose life and work has been documented by the Smithsonian, Time Magazine, The Wall Street Journal, and The New York Times? Well, according to Holmes Morton, it's the journey of a man in search of meaningful work. And it's a reminder that it's never too late.
I grew up in the town of Fayetteville in the southern coal fields of West Virginia. Family had a home there that we moved into when I was about 1 or 2 years old, and that's where we always were. We still go back there. My brother owns the house now and has restored it. Growing up in a town like Fayetteville gives you a different, I think, a sense of security or something. Everybody knows everybody. I think you also grow up with a sense you're being watched. So the town cop knew who we were, and if we got in trouble, he was pretty quick to come down to the house and talk to Dad about it.
The third of four brothers, Holmes Morton's father, Paul Morton, was a coal miner who later became a mining engineer. His mother was a housewife, artist, and amateur golfer. Though he liked to study subjects he was interested in, Holmes didn't like school much, and he didn't do well. His brother Charlie remembers when his parents decided to send him to private school.
Mom swears when he went to Virginia Episcopal School over in Lynchburg in the ninth grade that he was a very slow reader and not a very good student. He was always outdoorsy. He did some fishing and trapping of mink and I guess beaver and whatnot locally, and he would skin those and sell the pelts somewhere. So he's always been very outdoorsy, but not much of a student.
From my perspective, I was a good student. I studied a variety of things. I was very interested in literature, and at times I would be interested in mathematics, and at times I would be interested in music. The only problem was what I studied never really matched what was going on in school. So from the perspective of my teachers, I was at best an erratic student. I wasn't much bothered by not doing well on tests and having low grades.
Is it true that you flunked all your science classes in high school?
Most of them, yes.
In the spring of his senior year in high school, Holmes Morton dropped out, thinking he wanted to become a writer. He went to work as a boiler man in the engine room of an ore boat on the Great Lakes. 2 years later, he was drafted and did the same job in the engine room of naval ships.
I just happened to read an article in Scientific American about the asymmetry of function in the nervous system, that language was located on the left side and music was located on the right side. And I realized that I didn't know much about the brain. And that led to a long period of just studying psychology and neurology and reading about what was known about the nervous system, all sort of done independently while floating around on ships.
In his mid-20s, Morton decided to apply to Trinity College in Connecticut, which had an independent study program. And based on a research paper he'd written purely out of interest, they let him in. Right before he left for college, Holmes visited his parents and met Caroline Smith, a fellow West Virginian. I first met her next to a noisy West Virginia stream.
I grew up in Beckley, West Virginia, where my mother was also born and grew up, so we go back several generations from the Beckley area.
Caroline grew up in a tradition of providing health care to rural families. For more than 50 years, her grandfather, McCrae Banks, was a physician in the coal camp Raleigh right outside of Beckley. And her father, who was known as Pinky Smith, was a family doctor who cared for people from birth to death.
I remember as a child going on house calls, sometimes good distances in the country, to visit families. So it was an important part of my growing up, visiting my grandfather's office in the middle of the coal camp, where he took care of many families for many years.
After college, Caroline worked for the Red Cross in Vietnam and later trained teachers for the Head Start program in West Virginia. And while Holmes and Caroline were both studying in New England, these two West Virginians from the southern coal fields started dating and married in 1979. While he was in college, Holmes became interested in children with neurological problems and applied to Harvard Medical School. To everyone's surprise, not least his own, he got in. After Harvard, Morton trained in pediatrics in Boston and continued research in genetic disorders at the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. It was here one of the major turning points in his life took place. In the summer of 1988, while working in a genetics lab, Morton analyzed a sample from an Amish child with a disease called glutaric aciduria type 1.
Which produces a injury of the nervous system that looks like cerebral palsy. We had never seen that disease at Children's in Philadelphia. It was thought to be a very rare disease. So I just simply drove out to examine the child and talk to the family and learn something more about the disease.
Here he reads from an account he wrote of the Amish mother's experience.
We hoped he was not like our others. He seemed all right. He sat up, walked when he should have. But then it happened. He was 18 months old. He had a cold and a fever. Seemed tired, so I put him down for a nap after lunch. When I checked on him 2 hours later, he was helpless. He couldn't hold his head or swallow. He couldn't sit. No strength was left. We knew then he was like the others. There was no other reason for it. Amos and I just sat together and cried for a long time. We took him to the doctor. We knew the doctor would send us to the hospital, but we knew that after all the pain and the tests and the money, there wouldn't be any answers.
I was also convinced by the end of that summer that injury was probably preventable, because the children were well when they were born and would often go 6 months or a year or 18 months before they showed any signs of disability. And often the injury was abrupt. They would go from being a healthy child in the morning to fully disabled by afternoon. That is the hallmark of a treatable disease.
After being turned down for a research grant by the National Institutes of Health, Holmes and Caroline Morton decided to open a research and treatment clinic right where the patients lived, in Lancaster County. But at that point, Holmes didn't have a job, and they had no money. To raise funds, they considered taking out a second mortgage on their house, when an article appeared about them in the Wall Street Journal on September 20th, 1989. It captured the attention of people around the country. Money poured in. Hewlett-Packard donated laboratory equipment worth $250,000. A year later, on a rainy day in November, 60 Amish carpenters and farmers raised the clinic in one day.
It was exciting. It was overwhelming.
A little overwhelming, yeah. We had about 100 people for lunch down at the farmhouse.
Very traditional building process that begins early in the morning and ends when they all have to go home and milk the cows. So its timing is suited to chores.
I think the important thing for us was it involved the community in a way that we felt helped make a statement about the fact that the clinic was really there for the community and that ultimately they own it.
One day in September, for the last 20 years, 7,000 Amish and Mennonite people gather for an annual auction to benefit the clinic. They arrive by horse and buggy, by bicycle, in wheelchairs, and on foot. Hundreds of horses and buggies line the parking lots. Everything auctioned, quilts, household goods, and furniture, not to mention the food, are donated by Mennonite and Amish families.
This is a remarkable experience. I think it's also an example of what this community does, not just for us, but for people within the community who have special health care needs and special problems.
Throughout the day, parents and children approach Dr. Morton just to say thanks for what he's done for them. And on this one day, a third of the clinic's annual budget is raised.
It's a very important fundraiser for us, but I think more important for the community, it's a reunion for families who have children with these problems. And there are a lot of outsiders here that learn a lot about what it means to live in a community with support like this.
The ideas that Holmes and Caroline considered when setting up the clinic, things like home visits, on-site research and testing, practicing where the patients live, were based on what Caroline grew up with in West Virginia, the way her father and grandfather practiced medicine.
The model of the clinic for special children is really a very old model of health care. It really looks at the physician as a physician scientist who is not only taking care of patients and families in the context of their daily lives, but also trying to solve scientific problems as they do that.
One scientific problem that Morton and his team did figure out was how to prevent the worst effects of glutaric aciduria type 1 in the Amish and maple syrup urine disease in Mennonite children. For the first 2 years of life, if children are put on a low-protein diet and given glucose often, they tend not to have the strokes that lead to serious disabilities.
By the time the children are 18 to 24 months of age, the brain is much less vulnerable to that injury. So we've never had a patient here or anywhere in the world injured by one of these strokes after 2 years of age.
for their work in bringing world-class genetic medicine to a place where people need it most. Holmes Morton and the Clinic for Special Children have been given a number of awards. Time magazine named Morton a hero of medicine. The MacArthur Foundation awarded him a genius grant, $500,000 to carry on his research. He's also received the Albert Schweitzer Humanitarian Award. And Holmes hasn't forgotten his home state. Every summer, for the last 24 years, this high school dropout comes back to West Virginia to speak to future scientists at the National Youth Science Camp held in Pocahontas County. And as a family, being from West Virginia holds a special importance.
Our roots are very important to both of us. Whenever people ask where I'm from, I say, well, I'm really from West Virginia, although I've lived in Pennsylvania for the last 25 years. It's always, I'm originally from West Virginia. Even though our children weren't born in West Virginia, we feel like they have West Virginia blood that is important to them.
I do very much see it as my roots, and I see that small town as, you know, fostering a curiosity and a kind of stubbornness, I think, that has allowed me to do a lot that I wouldn't have been able to do.
Have you found the meaningful work you were searching for?
Yes.
You've been listening to In Search of Meaningful Work, the story of Holmes and Caroline Morton and the Clinic for Special Children in Strasburg, Pennsylvania. It's part of Inspiring West Virginians on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.